This morning I was just sharing on our life, our journey, and that, how we can, throughout life, just have our ups and downs. Who was here this morning? Yeah. And just understanding that, life's not about cruising. God didn't make us with a cruise control. We just can't set our course and our speed and our direction and just think, this is the way we're going to go for the rest of our life. Often life has its way of trying to divert us and trying to bring us to places where we never thought we would be. But that's part of the adventure, isn't it? That's what I love about life, the unpredictability, and really about following God. If you came to Christ and you were told, just come to Jesus and life's going to be fantastic from then on, you were basically sold a lie, in a sense that life's still tough. Actually, Jesus said it himself, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome. And that's the focus we should have. Not on the first part, on that we will have trouble. That's just going to come anyway. But in learning to put our faith in the second part of it, in that Jesus has helped us to overcome. He has overcome. The victory is ours. It's not ours to gain. It's ours to outwork and to live and to put into place in our life. And it's all about faith. And it's all about fighting the good fight. And that's really what I want to share about tonight, in fighting the good fight. Who loves a good scrap? And if you've got brothers and sisters, you don't mind getting around and, a bit of wrestling. I remember as a young kid, I grew up, my brother's only a couple of years younger than me. And, we'd love just getting out in the backyard and wrestling. And when the cousins came over, we just loved the wrestling, and tag team wrestling. Come on, Zach, you know what I mean, eh? Get in the headlocks and do the old pile drives and all that sort of stuff and the coat hangers. All that was great. And where was I going with that? I've got no idea. See, life takes you on different directions and you just lose focus. It's that easy. Yeah, good scrap. That's it. Thanks, Trev. And so we've just got to come to this place where we know first and foremost who we are. And, it's just what I love about being part and growing up in the CRC. That really is one of the primary messages that we hear continuously, and you will continuously hear in what we say, because identity is primary. Identity and who God has made us to be is first and foremost if we're ever going to succeed in fighting the good fight. And so I just really want to share on that this afternoon or tonight, and just have a look at how that can outwork in our life. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for just the people, the love that you have poured out for us. And Lord, through your word, you give us hope, Lord. You give us purpose. You give us destiny. And you give us, Lord, the wisdom to see things for what they are, and Lord, that we can see ourselves for who you have made us to be. So tonight, Lord, I just pray as we look at this and we look at Scripture and what flows from that, that our hearts will be ministered to and there will be a freshness to what we hear and what we can walk out of here tonight with, and that we can move on and put into place even as we go about our day tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you look at, if you've got your Bibles or your devices, 2 Timothy 4 and 7, okay, and we're just going to look at that in what Paul writes to Timothy. And it seems that Paul, when he's writing this second letter to Timothy, you get the sense that Paul knows that he's coming to the end of his journey. It's sort of imminent. He's coming to an understanding that his time has come and that God will call him home. And he writes this to Timothy, who is obviously a man that Paul has declared in his word as a son, someone that Paul is mentoring, Paul is encouraging, Paul is pushing forward to be the expression of all that Timothy has for him in his life. And Paul writes this in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. It's actually not a bad thing to put on your headstone, isn't it? That'd be pretty awesome if that's what we can say at the end of our time here on earth, okay, that I fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. You know, I don't know if you know, but you could probably tell from my physique that I like to keep fit, okay? You can laugh again, Catherine. Okay, but I'm a runner. I'm a feral jogger, and every Saturday we go up the hill and we run around the hill and scare off the goats and all that sort of stuff. But you know, you enter into a run, you enter into a race to do what? Just run? No, you enter into it to finish. Now, some people take a longer time to get to the finish line. Some people can run it a bit quicker. Some people find an easier road to go on, and some people somehow, through distraction or whatever, end up going bush, you know, and through the sticks and the scrub and find themselves scratched up a bit by the time they get back on track and heading towards the finish line again. And so it's all about having our eyes focused on what is ahead. It's all about ensuring that the end is in sight. And when I say that, we know that, you know, when our time passes here on earth, that's not the end. You know, you understand that. And then we go on and spend eternity with our Lord. But it's about fulfilling the purpose that God has called us to here on earth. And I'm sure you've been told time and time and again that we are not born by accident. Oh, yes, we might have been a surprise to our parents, but we weren't an accident to God. Because God foreknew us, He predestined us, as it tells us in Ephesians, okay, and the blueprint of our life were written in the heavenlies even before we were conceived. And so there is a purpose, there is a race. You know, we're part of the human race, but we're part of a greater cause, aren't we? Even as Jesus said in John 18, "For this cause I was born." I love that. That is one of my life scriptures. For this cause I was born. And for each one of us, that's a different thing. But ultimately, it's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about glorifying God in the way we live our life, in the way we run our race, in the way we fight our fight. And when we talk about fights, I'm not talking about the struggle so much, okay? It's talking about succeeding in what God has called us to do. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Man, you have a plan for your life. There is a cause you need to fight for." And that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. In a sense, Paul was encouraging Timothy in saying, "Look at my example. See, you know my story. You know what I've gone through in the call that God has and the journey that God has had me on. But you've seen that I've stuck to it. You've seen that I've worked it out. You've seen that I've forsook everything for the glory of God. And that even though that my race is coming to an end, I have run it well." And in Paul, it's in a sense that Paul's not boasting about himself, but in a sense he's saying, "Follow my example." In fighting the good fight, there are a few things I just want to touch on as we look at this tonight. In fighting the good fight, it all starts with faith, isn't it? Faith. I spoke this morning about believing and therefore seeing. You know that? In believing, we see. And believing is faith. And faith is not always materialized so that we can grasp it with our natural senses. In what we can see in the physical and what we can hear or taste or touch. But faith is knowing that God is in control. And often that comes through a word, doesn't it? It's why the preacher always says, "Read your Bible." It's why we're told, "Know the scripture, know God's heart for you. Know of His love for you. Know of who you are through Christ Jesus." And so the faith is imparted by the word that is given. So the word is given to us, okay, and when we hear it, we have faith. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And so if you're unsure about yourself, if you're unsure about the nature or the character of God, if you're unsure about what God has called you to be, then you need that revelation of the word of Christ in your heart. John 1:14, for we have been given the right to be called children of God. I mean, is there any doubt about that? Is there any issue with saying, well, I wonder if that's true or not? Or Ephesians 1, the whole chapter, I've been predestined, I've been chosen, I've been forgiven, I've been adopted. All these things, when we get that word into our heart, when it is revealed to us, okay, faith is imparted. And this is important, because if we don't have the firmness, the solidity of this foundation, we're going to waver. We're going to find ourselves in doubt. We're going to one moment be over on this side and then the other moment be on that side, depending on the circumstances, as I was sharing this morning. We allow the circumstance of our life to dictate to us how we should feel, how we should think, what we believe of ourselves, what we believe of God's promises. All those things. But once faith is imparted into us and it's rock solid, then that is the foundation of where we move on from there. And see, once faith is imparted, then what has to happen? Faith needs to be obeyed. Faith needs to be acted upon. What does James say in his letter? You say you have faith, I'll show you my faith by what I do, by my works, by my deeds, depending on which version you read. And so faith is not only a matter of believing, but in a manner of it allowing us in how we outwork that in our life. And so if I believe and know by faith in my heart that I am a son of God, that's how my life will reflect. That's what will flow from me. Not because it's forced to, not because I have to, but it's just a natural overflow of what is in my heart. And my actions will show that. The word of God says that I am loved because of who I am, because of Christ Jesus. The love of compassion I know is really my heart, and therefore what will happen? My actions will reflect that. And so you can see how it works hand in hand. Faith that is imparted through the given word settles in your heart and becomes rock solid. Nothing can move that, okay? And then we allow it to manifest itself in how we allow it to work through in our everyday life. And it's not about the big things. It's not about, you know, the major things that happen, or you know, this person has this big ministry and that person is so wonderful and so effective in their ministry and, oh, look at that person going great guns. It's about our everyday life, isn't it? It's about how we relate to our family, how we relate to our friends, how we relate to our work colleagues. That's in the simple things, in the small things, you will see that faith obeyed starts to manifest and starts to grow and starts to reveal God in your heart. And so faith is imparted, and once faith is imparted, faith is acted upon in obedience. But you see, then what happens after that is you're going to hit times of crisis. You're going to hit those blockages in your road. I shared that this morning. You're going to come from the mountain down into the valleys. You're going to come from everything's going great to things that, man, my feet have just seemed like they're stuck in the mud. But that's just normal part of life, isn't it? That's living in a fallen, frail world. In a world that, you know, that is not in obedience to God. and we will come against that, and our faith will be tested. Who's ever had their faith tested? Oh yeah, if you've been on the journey long enough, your faith will be tested. But you know what? That's not a bad thing. Because the testing of our faith, what? Develops, I shared it this morning, perseverance. It develops perseverance. It develops your character so that you will be no longer wanting for anything, but complete and mature. See, we all after the quick fix sometimes. Lord, I just want your completeness. I want your fullness. And in a sense, we have that because we have Christ Jesus. But as we work and walk on our journey, we need to allow that journey to shape us in a sense that we can determine who we're going to be. Praise the Lord. And so when we hit that time of crisis, guess what we need to do? We need to go back to the word that is imparted into our life. We need to go back to the foundation of who we are, who Christ has made us to be. So faith imparted enables us to act out our faith in obedience. But even in the acting out of our faith, there will be times of crisis and our faith will be tested. And so we need to go back to that word in our heart. Who am I? Who has Christ made me to be? I remember a few years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago, I've been senior minister of Life Source Church for probably 5 or 6 years at that stage, and there was that sort of dryness, you know, there's that sort of, you'd think that senior ministers would have their act together, and I know Trev does, you know, and a wonderful example of a man who's got his life together, all right, and you think that would be the norm, but you understand that we're people, we're humans, and we have our ups and downs as well. And it was this at this time that, you know, things were going okay at church, you know, but there was just a few things happening, and you know, it just felt like it was tough going. And it was just, I had to stop and reflect. You know, God, what's going on here? God, am I the right person for this job? You ever had those questions, Trev?
Probably not. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You, and we all have those questions, don't we? Am I the right person for this? God, isn't there someone better? You know, surely there's someone else that needs to be doing this instead of me. And it was a time of crisis in my life, in my ministry, if you want to call it that. And so what did I need to do? I needed to go back. I had to strip everything away. Go back to the basic of God, who have you called me to be? I needed to settle that again, first in my heart. And he led me to scriptures that again reaffirmed who I was meant to be. And you know what the first thing was? Rodney, you are my son. You are my child. I've called you, and if I call you, no one can uncall you. Amen. And then he led me to another scripture which says, I am a priest. I'm a priest, and I am a king. Why? Because the word of God says it. Based upon who God has made me to be, not on what I'm able to do for myself. And so we need to at times reflect upon that and again settle that in our heart. This is who I am. I will not be shaken. Amen. This is who I am. First and foremost, everything will flow from that once we have that settled in our heart. And then after faith is tested, we see that faith is victorious. And we see the victory that comes through that. And so in fighting the good fight, we understand that faith is a major part of that. Faith is the rock in which we can build upon those things in our life. And so, you know, running the race, fighting the fight, however you want to put it, we also know that in that journey, there is someone who wants to trip us up. Okay? And it's not the person next to you. Okay? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of this dark world. You see, we have an enemy who wants to trip you up, who wants to lead you astray, who wants to deceive you with the subtle lies. Are you really a child of God? Look at you. And it starts to nag away. But see, we can lose focus in that, and we can stop it right there and say, hey, hang on a minute, I know in my heart that these things are true about me, and I will not be shaken. And so, just looking at that, we can see that the devil is an enemy, but sometimes there's other enemies at play. And I just want to touch on a couple of them just to help us clarify that. And you know what one of the enemies of faith is? Reasoning. Reasoning. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We use what? Weapons of God. What are they? We read them in Ephesians. Shield of faith, belt of truth, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. All those things. The double-edged sword. We use the weapons of God to destroy human reasoning. Okay? And pull down the enemy's lies. Romans 8, 6 and 8 says, now the mind of the flesh, and this is the Amplified Version, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and peace, both now and forevermore. That is, because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law, indeed it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering for the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. Now when I talk about reasoning being an enemy, I'm not talking about throwing out our brains when it comes to matters of faith. Okay? I'm not talking about just going, all right, I'll believe it. Okay? But it's about allowing the Spirit of God to settle things in our mind, and that not to just view everything through our natural senses. Our faith needs to be not only in what is seen, but what is unseen. I spoke on that this morning. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Allowing the eyes of our heart to be open to see those things when it comes to faith. I mean, how can reasoning explain the resurrection of the dead? And yet, it is the major cornerstone of our faith. For if Christ has not risen, then none of us shall rise. But how do you explain that in logic and reasoning? How do you explain with logic and reasoning the miraculous? See, there's a lot of things that we cannot explain with logic and reason, and it comes down to matters of faith. Here's another enemy of faith, wrong belief. Wrong belief. And here's a couple I just want to touch on. And I look at this through the story of Exodus 14 when the Israelites were coming up out of Egypt. And here's the first wrong belief. It is better to live as a slave than die as a free man. Exodus 14, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. You see, when times get tough, we often think, oh man, I just wanted to go back to the way it was. You know, I know I can speak honestly to you. You know, that there have been times in my journey where I think, you know what, this is just, I want to throw this Christianity stuff in. I want to go back to the old way. I want to go back to partying with my friends. I want to go back to the, you know, let's just live for Rod and no one else. And in that subtle lie, that subtle allowing my belief to be misguided and thinking it was better back then than it is now. But you know, the mind has a way of forgetting the hard things and remembering the good things. You women would understand that in childbirth, wouldn't you? After a time, you just remember what was good about the situation. You forget what was hard. And so don't let ourselves be misdirected into thinking, you know what, I can just go back to the way things were. That's just wrong belief. What about this one? Faith is waiting for God to do it all for you, is wrong belief. Again, we see the story in Exodus 14. The Israelites are being pursued by the Egyptians. They come to the edge of the Red Sea. And Moses stands up and gives this wonderful, inspiring, motivational talk. Be still and see the salvation of God at hand. That sounds inspiring, doesn't it? We'd all yell out, amen, praise the Lord. Come on. But what did God say to Moses? Moses, what do you got in your hand? Don't wait for me to do everything. I've brought you here. I've given you something. Use it. Point your stick out over the sea. And see, faith is not only believing God is a God of the miraculous, but we have a partnership to play. We have a part to play in how our faith is outworked in our life and to see things come to pass in our life. Because in fighting the good fight, we have to understand that God has given us everything. We just have to use it. And sometimes that's a command, a word of authority. Even in our prayer for healing, you know, God is saying, don't ask me to heal you, I've healed you, now just enact it. Speak it in authority. Take hold of that promise. The promise is yours. Don't ask me to give something that's already been given. You understand what I'm saying? And to speak it and to act upon it as if it's already a done deal, that's the tricky part. That's the faith step. And we need to be wise in that. I understand that. Okay. We need to be wise. But allowing God to do what He has done and for us to do what we need to do. Wrong belief number three. I don't have what it takes. You ever thought that way? You ever come against something and you thought to yourself, I don't have what it takes to get through? See, that's wrong belief. There's a quote that says, one plus one equals a majority. One plus God, I mean, equals a majority. And if we know if God is for us, then who can be against us? If we know that Jesus has overcome the world through the cross of Calvary, then who are we to say something still needs to be done here? But Jesus said it is finished. And so those promises in the Word, we need to have them in our heart. We need to say yes and amen, because they are yes and amen in Christ. We going good here? Yeah? All right. Here's another thing. Wrong confession. Wrong confession. Who's guilty? Yep. I'm guilty of wrong confession. You catch yourself doing it. You think to yourself, that's not right. What did I say that for? James says in chapter 3, verse 7, people can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Wrong confession. Wrong confession. Same thing according to what we see and hear, instead of saying things in faith. See, in fighting the good fight, we need to say things. We need to create the world in which we live. We've got that authority, people. Believe it, we've got the authority to speak into our situation, to just stand our ground and say, no, this is not the way it is. This is the way I see it in faith. To stand and say, I will not be overcome, I will live victorious. To go from, man, I'm done for here, to, praise God, I have overcome and I will overcome. What is your confession? What is your heart saying? What are you speaking? What do you say to yourself when you comb your hair in the morning? What do you believe about yourself? Does it come from the Word of God? Does it come from what faith has been imparted into your life? I'll keep going. Words satisfy the soul, the Proverbs say, as food satisfies the stomach. The right words on a person's lip bring satisfaction. Those who love to talk will experience the consequences, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. So watch what words we speak. And then obviously wrong attitude is an enemy of faith, isn't it? Again, in Ephesians, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The old is dead, it's gone, it's buried, it's crucified, the new has come. Romans 12 tells us the renewing of our mind will bring about transformation. All these things, people, are not just nice sounding scriptures. They actually have purpose in our life. They actually bring life to us. In fighting the good fight, in running the race, in getting to the finish line and doing it well, all these things play a part. The words we speak, the attitude of our mind, our belief system, what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about others, all these things come together to help us in that journey. Praise the Lord. Wrong attitudes are things like dishonor, criticalness, self-centeredness, bitterness, unforgiveness, lovelessness, unholy living. All these things are attitudes of the old way of life. But the new way of life is things like honor, being encouraging, not critical, thinking of others, not ourselves, letting bitterness go and forgiveness take hold, not being cold and loveless, but full of love, and living a life that is holy and pleasing to God. So tonight, I just wanted to encourage us in that word, because I know we all want to fight the good fight. I know we all want to run the race that's been marked out for us. And so with our eyes fixed on Jesus, we see all of these things. There's four of them. What are they? Reasoning will destroy and erode our faith. Wrong belief will destroy and erode our faith. Wrong attitudes will destroy and erode our faith. And the wrong confession will also do the same. And so tonight I just want to leave you with those few things and allow God and the Holy Spirit just to bring some of those things to remembrance in your heart and to reflect upon them in the days to come. But I'm going to ask us all just to stand right now, just as we finish. And maybe something I've shared with you tonight has just struck a chord. I hope it has, because I believe God hears our heart and where we're going and what we need to hear. And so, just in wrapping up, I just want us to just meditate on those things and just take account of where we are in those things at this time, in our attitude, in what we believe about ourselves, in what we're confessing with our mouth, and what we're putting our faith in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we can come with an open heart. Holy Spirit, thank you that something has spoken to us tonight that might even challenge us in what we are in the race that we are running. That we're able to, Lord, just put our mind and our focus back on you. Lord, I thank you that by your word, we can just have faith, rock solid faith in who we are and who you have made us to be. That Lord, through that will just flow from us in the outworking of our actions and our attitudes. And Father, I just speak against anything that would hinder that, anything that would become an obstacle or a stumbling block in that race, Lord, in our race, in our journey. And I just come against any wrong belief in Jesus' name. I come against any wrong attitudes in Jesus' name. I come against any wrong confession in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is true in our heart. Thank you, Father. Maybe just some of you right now just need to just pray to God and say, Lord, forgive me for whatever it is. Maybe there's something that you've been confessing over your life that you know isn't just quite right. Maybe there's something of an attitude that you've had towards, I don't know, other people or towards God Himself. Maybe you just need to come and repent of that. Because that's all part of fighting the good fight. It's all part of the refreshing that comes in those times where we just need to reflect upon our life. So, Lord, I thank you. You know and hear the hearts of those that are just calling out to you right at this moment. Holy Spirit, I just pray, Father, refresh them. Refresh them right now. Refresh them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Praise God.